the 11th of July. And so all night down by water, a most pleasant passage, and came thither by 2 o'clock, and so walked from the Old Swan home, and there to bed to my will, being very weary, and he lodging at my desire in my house. At 6 o'clock up and to Westminster, where, and all the town besides, I hear, the plague increases, and it being too soon to go to the Duke of Albemarle, I to the Harp and Ball, and there made a bargain with Mary to go forth with me in the afternoon, which she, with much ado, consented to. So I to the Duke of Albemarle, and there with much ado did get his consent in part to my having the money promised for Tangier, and the other part did not concur. So, being displeased with this, I back to the office, and there sat alone a while doing business, and then, by a solemn invitation, to the Trinity House, where a great dinner and company, Captain Dobbin's feast for elder brother. But I broke up before the dinner half over, and by agreement by water to the Harp and Ball, and thence had Mary meet me at the New Exchange, and there took coach, and I, with great pleasure, took the air to Highgate, and thence to Hampstead, much pleased with her company, pretty and innocent, and had what pleasure almost I would with her. And so, at night, weary and sweaty, it being very hot beyond bearing, we back again, and I set her down in St. Martin's Lane, and so I to the evening change, and there here, all the town full, that Ostend is delivered to us, and that Alderman Backwell did go with £50,000 to that purpose. But the truth of it I do not know. But something, I believe, there is extraordinary in his going. So, to the office, where I did what I could as to letters, and so away to bed, shifting myself, and taking some Venice treacle, feeling myself out of order, and there, to bed, to sleep. The 12th of July. After doing what business I could in the morning, it being a solemn fast day for the plague growing upon us, I took boat and down to Deptford, where I stood with great pleasure an hour or two by my Lady Sandwich's bedside, talking to her, she lying prettily in bed, of my Lady Jemima's being from my Lady Pickering's when our letters came to that place, she being at my Lord Montague's at Boughton. The truth is, I had received letters of it 2 days ago, but had dropped them and was in a very extraordinary strait what to do for them, or what account to give my lady. But sent to every place, I sent to Mortlake, where I'd been the night before, and there they were found, which with mighty joy came safe to me. But all ending with satisfaction to my lady and me, though I find my Lady Carteret not much pleased with this delay, and principally because of the plague, which renders it unsafe to stay long at Deptford. I ate a bit, my Lady Carteret being the most kind lady in the world, and so took boat, and a fresh boat at the Tower, and so up the river against tide all the way, I having lost it by staying prating to and with my lady. And from before 1, made it 7 ere we got to Hampton Court. And when I came there, all business was over, saving my finding Mr. Coventry at his chamber, and with him a good while about several businesses at his chamber, and so took leave and away to my boat, and all night upon the water, staying a while with Nan at Mortlake, very much pleased and merry with her. And so on homeward, and came home by 2 o'clock, shooting the bridge at that time of night, and so to bed, where I find Will is not. He is staying at Woolwich to come with my wife to dinner tomorrow to my Lady Carteret's. I heard Mr. Williamson repeat at Hampton Court today how the King of France hath lately set out a most high arrest against the Pope, which is reckoned very lofty and high. The 13th of July. Lay long, being sleepy, and then up to the office, my Lord Brunker, after his sickness, being come to the office, and did what business there was. And so I by water, at night late, to Sir George Carteret's. But there being no oars to carry me, I was fain to call a sculler that had a gentleman already in it, and he proved a man of love to music, and he and I sung together the way down, with great pleasure, and an accident extraordinary to be met with. There came to dinner, they having dined, but my lady caused something to be brought for me, and I dined well, and mighty merry, especially my lady Slaining and I, about eating of cream and brown bread, which she loves as much as I. Thence, after long discourse with them, and my lady alone, I and wife, who by agreement met me here, took leave, and I saw my wife a little way down, it troubling me that this absence makes us a little strange instead of more fond, and so parted, and I home to some letters, and then home to bed. Above 700 dead of the plague this week. The 14th of July. Up and all the morning at the Exchequer endeavouring to strike tallies for money for Tangier, and mightily vexed to see how people attend there, some out of town, and others drowsy, and to others it was late, so that the King's business suffers 10 times more than all their service is worth. So I am put off to tomorrow. Thence to the old Exchange by water, and there bespoke 2 fine shirts of my pretty seamstress, who, she tells me, serves Jack Fenn. Upon the change, all the news is that guns have been heard, and that news is come by a Dane, that my lord was in view of De Ruyter, and that since his parting from my lord of Sandwich he hath heard guns. But little of it do I think true. So home to dinner where Povey, by agreement, and after dinner we to talk of our Tangier matters, about keeping our profit at the pay and victualling of the garrison, if the present undertakers should leave it, wherein I did, nor will do anything unworthy me and any just man. But they being resolved to quit it, it is fit I should suffer Mr. Povey to do what he can with Mr. Gordon about it, to our profit. Thence to the discoursing of putting some sums of money in order and tallies, which we did pretty well. So he in the evening gone, I by water to Sir George Carteret, and there find my Lady Sandwich and her buying things for my Lady Jem's wedding. And my Lady Jem is beyond expectation come to Dagenham's, where Mr. Carteret is to go to visit her tomorrow, and my proposal of waiting on him, he being to go alone to all persons strangers to him, was well accepted, and so I go with him. But, Lord, to see how kind my Lady Carteret is to her, sends her most rich jewels, and provides bedding and things of all sorts most richly for her, which makes my lady and me out of our wits almost, to see the kindness she treats us all with, as if they would buy the young lady. Thence away home, and foreseeing my being abroad 2 days, did sit up late, making of letters ready against tomorrow and other things, and so to bed, to be up betimes by the help of a larum watch, which by chance I borrowed of my watchmaker today, while my own is mending. The 15th of July. Up and after all business done at the office, though late, I to Deptford, and before I went out of the office saw there young Bagwell's wife returned, but could not stay to speak to her, though I had a great mind to it. And also another great lady as to fine clothes did attend there to have a ticket signed, which I did do, taking her through the garden to my office, where I signed it and had a salute of her. And so I away by boat to Redriff, and thence walked. And after dinner at Sir George Carteret, where they stayed till almost 3 o'clock for me, and anon took boat, Mr. Carteret and I, to the ferry place at Greenwich, and there stayed an hour, after crossing the water to and again, to get our coach and horses over, and by set out, and so toward Dagenham. But, Lord, what silly discourse we had by the way as to matter of love matters! He being the most awkward man I ever met withal in my life as to that business. Thither we came by time it begin to be dark, and were kindly received by my Lady Wright and my Lord Crewe. And to discourse they went, my Lord discoursing with him, asking of him questions of travel, which he answered well enough in a few words. But nothing to the lady from him at all. To supper, and after supper to talk again, he yet taking no notice of the lady. My lord would have had me have consented to leaving the young people together tonight, to begin their amours, his staying being but to be little. But I advised against it, lest the lady might be too much surprised. So they led him up to his chamber, where I stayed a little to know how he liked the lady, which, he told me, he did mightily. But, Lord, in the dullest, insipid manner that ever lover did. So I bid him good night and down to prayers with my Lord Crewe's family. And after prayers, my Lord and Lady Wright and I to consult what to do, and it was agreed at last to have them go to church together as the family used to do, though his lameness was a great objection against it. But at last my Lady Jem sent me word by my Lady Wright that it would be better to do just as they used to do before his coming, and therefore she desired to go to church, which was yielded then to. The 16th of July, Lord's Day. I up, having lain with Mr. Moore in the chaplain's chamber, and having trimmed myself down to Mr. Carteret, and he being ready, we down and walked in the gallery an hour or two, it being a most noble and pretty house that ever for the bigness I saw. Here I taught him what to do, to take the lady alway by the hand to lead her, and telling him that I would find opportunity to leave them two together, he should make these and these compliments, and also take a time to do the like to my Lord Crewe and Lady Wright. After I had instructed him, which he thanked me for, owning that he needed my teaching him, my Lord Crewe came down and family, the young lady among the rest, and so by coaches to church, 4 mile off, where a pretty good sermon, and a declaration of penitence of a man that had undergone the church censure for his wicked life. Thence back again by coach, Mr. Carteret having not had the confidence to take his lady once by the hand, coming or going, which I told him of when we came home, and he will hereafter do it. So, to dinner, my lord, excellent discourse. Then to walk in the gallery and to sit down. By and by my Lady Wright and I go out, and then my Lord Crewe, he not by design, and lastly, my Lady Crewe came out and left the young people together. And a little pretty daughter of my Lady Wright's most innocently came out afterward and shut the door to, as if she had done it, poor child, by inspiration, which made us without have good sport to laugh at. They together an hour, and by church time, whither he led her into the coach and into the church, and so at church all the afternoon. Several handsome ladies at church, but it was most extraordinary hot that ever I knew it. So home again, and to walk in the gardens, where we left the young couple a second time, and my Lady Wright and I to walk together, who, to my trouble, tells me that my Lady Jem must have something done to her body by Scott before she can be married, and therefore care must be had to send him, also that some more new clothes must of necessity be made her, which and other things I took care of. Anon to supper and excellent discourse and dispute between my Lord Crewe and the chaplain, who is a good scholar, but a nonconformist. Here this evening I spoke with Mistress Carter, my old acquaintance that hath lived with my lady these 12 or 13 years, the sum of all whose discourse, and others for her, is that I would get her a good husband, which I have promised, but know not when I shall perform. After Mr. Carteret carried to his chamber, we to prayers again and then to bed. The 17th of July. Up, all of us, and to billiards, my Lady Wright, Mr. Carteret, myself, and everybody. By and by, the young couple left together. Anon to dinner, and after dinner Mr. Carteret took my advice about giving to the servants, and I led him to give £10 among them, which he did by leaving it to the chief manservant, Mr. Meadows, to do for him. Before we went, I took my Lady Jem apart, and would know how she liked this gentleman, and whether she was under any difficulty concerning him. She blushed, and hid her face a while, but at last I forced her to tell me. She answered that she could readily obey what her father and mother had done, which was all she could say, or I expect. So anon took leave, and for London, But Lord, to see, among other things, how all these great people here are afeard of London, being doubtful of anything that comes from thence, or that hath lately been there, that I was forced to say that I lived wholly at Woolwich. In our way Mr. Carteret did give me mighty thanks for my care and pains for him, and is mightily pleased, though the truth is my Lady Jem hath carried herself with mighty discretion and gravity, not being forward at all in any degree, but mighty serious in her answers to him, as by what he says, and I observed, I collect. To London, to my office, and there took letters from the office, where all well, and so to the bridge, and there he and I took boat, and to Deptford, where mighty welcome, and brought the good news of all being pleased to them. Mighty mirth at my giving them an account of all, but the young man could not be got to say one word before me, or my Lady Sandwich, of his adventures. But by what he afterward related to his father, and mother, and sisters, he gives an account that pleases them mightily. Here Sir George Carteret would have me lie all night, which I did most nobly, better than ever I did in my life. Sir George Carteret being mighty kind to me, leading me to my chamber. And all their care now is to have the business ended. And they have reason, because the sickness puts all out of order, and they cannot safely stay where they are. The 18th of July. Up and to the office, where all the morning, and so to my house, and ate a bit of victuals, and so to the change, where a little business, and a very thin exchange, and so walked through London to the Temple, where I took water for Westminster to the Duke of Albemarle, to wait on him, and so to Westminster Hall, and there paid for my news books, and did give Mistress Mitchell, who is going out of town because of the sickness, and her husband, a pint of wine. And so Sir William Warren coming to me by appointment, we away by water home, by the way discoursing about the project I have of getting some money, and doing the King good service too, about the mast dock at Woolwich, which I fear will never be done if I do not go about it. After dispatching letters at the office, I by water down to Deptford, where I stayed a little while, and by water to my wife, whom I have not seen 6 or 5 days, and there supped with her, and mighty pleasant, and saw with content her drawings, and so to bed mighty merry. I was much troubled this day to hear at Westminster how the officers do bury the dead in the open Tothill fields, pretending want of room elsewhere, whereas the new chapel churchyard was walled in at the public charge in the last plague time, merely for want of room, and now none but such as are able to pay dear for it can be buried there. The 19th of July. Up and to the office, and thence presently to the Exchequer, and there with much trouble got my tallies, and afterward took Mr. Falconbridge, Spicer, and another or two to the Leg, and there gave them a dinner. And so, with my tallies and about 30 dozen of bags, which it seems are my due, having paid the fees as if I had received the money, I away home, and after a little stay, down by water to Deptford, where I find all full of joy, and preparing to go to Dagenham tomorrow. To supper, and after supper to talk without end. Very late I went away, it raining, but I had un design pour aller à la femme de Bagwell, and did so. Mais ne savais obtenir algun cosa de ella, come io quisere, sino toccarla. So away about 12, and it raining hard, I back to Sir George Carteret, and there called up the page, and to bed there, being all in a most violent sweat. The 20th of July. Up in a boat, among other people, to the Tower, and there to the office, where we sat all the morning. So down to Deptford, and there dined, and after dinner saw my Lady Sandwich and Mr. Carteret and his two sisters over the water, going to Dagenham's, and my Lady Carteret toward Cranburn. So all the company broke up in most extraordinary joy, wherein I am mighty contented that I have had the good fortune to be so instrumental, and I think it will be of good use to me. So walk to Redriff, where I hear the sickness is, and indeed is scattered almost everywhere. They're dying 1,089 of the plague this week. My Lady Carteret did this day give me a bottle of plague water to take home with me. So home to write letters late, and then home to bed, where I have not lain these 3 or 4 nights. I received yesterday a letter from my Lord Sandwich, giving me thanks for my care about their marriage business, and desiring it to be dispatched, that no disappointment may happen therein, which I will help on all I can. This afternoon I waited on the Duke of Albemarle, and so to Mistress Croft's, where I found and saluted Mistress Burrows, who is a very pretty woman for a mother of so many children. But, Lord, to see how the plague spreads, it being now all over King Street, at the Axe and the next door to it, and in other places. The 21st of July. Up and abroad to the goldsmith to see what money I could get upon my present tallies, upon the advance of the excise, and I hope I shall get £10,000. I went also, and had them entered at the excise office. Alderman Backwell is at sea. Sir Robert Viner came to town but this morning, so Coville was the only man I could yet speak with all to get any money of. Met with Mr. Povey, and I with him, and dined at the Custom House Tavern, there to talk of our Tangier business, and Stockdale and Hewitt with us. So abroad to several places, among others, to Anthony Joyce's, and there broke to him my desire to have Paul married to Harmon, whose wife, poor woman, is lately dead, to my trouble, I loving her very much, and he will consider it. So home and late at my chamber, setting some papers in order, the plague growing very raging and my apprehensions of it great. So very late, to bed. The 22nd of July. As soon as up, I among the goldsmiths, Sir Robert Viner and Colville, and there got £10,000 of my new tallies accepted. And so I made it my work to find out Mr. Mervyn, and sent for others to come with their bills of exchange, as Captain Hewitt, etc., and sent for Mr. Jackson, but he was not in town. So all the morning at the office and after dinner, which was very late, I to Sir Robert Viner's, by his invitation in the morning, and got near £5,000 more accepted. And so, from this day, the whole, or near £15,000, lies upon interest. Thence I by water to Westminster, and the Duke of Albemarle being gone to dinner to my Lord of Canterbury's, I thither and there walked and viewed the new hall, a new old-fashioned hall, as much as possible, begun and means left for the ending of it, by Bishop Juxon, not coming prepared to speak with him, I to Vauxhall, where to the Spring Garden, but I do not see one guest there, the town being so empty of anybody to come thither, only, while I was there, a poor woman came to scold with the master of the house, that a kinswoman, I think, of hers, that was newly dead of the plague, might be buried in the churchyard, for her part, she should not be buried in the commons, as they said she should. Back to Whitehall, and by comes the Duke of Albemarle, and there, after a little discourse, I by coach home, not meeting with but 2 coaches and but 2 carts from Whitehall to my own house, that I could observe, and the streets mighty thin of people. I met this noon with Dr. Burnett, who told me, and I find in the news-book this week that he posted upon the change, that whoever did spread that report that instead of the plague, his servant was by him killed, it was forgery, and showed me the acknowledgment of the master of the pest-house, that his servant died of a bubo on his right groin, and 2 spots on his right thigh, which is the plague. To my office, where late writing letters, and getting myself prepared with business for Hampton Court tomorrow, and so, having caused a good pullet to be got for my supper all alone, I very late to bed. All the news is great that we must of necessity fall out with France, for he will side with the Dutch against us. That Alderman Backwell is gone over, which indeed he is, with money, and that Ostend is in our present possession. But it is strange to see how poor Alderman Backwell is like to be put to it in his absence, Mr. Shaw, his right hand, being ill, and the alderman's absence gives doubts to people, and I perceive they are in great straits for money, besides what Sir George Carteret told me about 14 days ago. Our fleet under my Lord Sandwich being about the latitude 55½, which is a great secret, to the northward of the Texel. So to bed very late. In my way I called upon Sir William Turner, and at Mr. Shellcross's, but he was not at home, having left his bill with Sir William Turner. That so I may prove I did what I could as soon as I had money to answer all bills. The 23rd, 24th, and 25th of July. Lord's Day. Up very betimes, called by Mr. Cutler by appointment, and with him in his coach and 4 horses over London Bridge to Kingston. A very pleasant journey. And at Hampton Court by 9 o'clock. In our way, very good and various discourse, as he is a man that though I think he be a knave, as the world thinks him, yet a man of great experience and worthy to be heard discourse. When we came there, we to Sir William Coventry's chamber, and there discoursed long with him, he and I alone, the other being gone away. And so walked together through the garden to the house, where we parted, I observing with a little trouble that he is too great now to expect too much familiarity with, and he, I find, doth not mind me as he used to. But when I reflect upon him and his business, I cannot think much of it, for I do not observe anything but the same great kindness from him. I followed the king to chapel, and there hear a good sermon, and after sermon with my Lord Arlington, Sir Thomas Ingram and others, spoke to the Duke about Tangier, but not to much purpose. I was not invited any whither to dinner, though a stranger, which did also trouble me. But yet I must remember it as a court, and indeed where most are strangers. But, however, Cutler carried me to Mr. Marriott's, the housekeeper, and there we had a very good dinner and good company, among others, Lily the painter. Thence to the council chamber, where in a back room I sat all the afternoon, but the council begun late to sit, and spent most of the time upon Morisco's tar business. They sat long, and I forced to follow Sir Thomas Ingram, the Duke, and others, so that when I got free and came to look for Cutler, he was gone with his coach, without leaving any word with anybody to tell me so, so that I was forced with great trouble to walk up and down looking of him, and at last forced to get a boat to carry me to Kingston. And there, after eating a bit at a neat inn, which pleased me well, I took boat and slept all the way without intermission from thence to Queenhithe, where it being about 2 o'clock, too late, and too soon to go home to bed, I lay and slept till about 4. And then up and home, and there dressed myself, and by appointment to Deptford, to Sir George Carteret, between 6 and 7 o'clock, where I found him and my lady almost ready. And by and by went over to the ferry, and took coach and 6 horses nobly for Dagenham's, himself and lady, and their little daughter, Louison, and myself in the coach, where, when we came, we were bravely entertained and spent the day most pleasantly with the young ladies, and I so merry as never more. Only, for want of sleep and drinking of strange beer, had a rheum in one of my eyes which troubled me much. Here, with great content all the day, as I think I ever passed a day in my life, because of the contentfulness of our errand, and the nobleness of the company and our manner of going. But I find Mr. Carteret yet as backward almost in his caresses as he was the first day. At night, about 7 o'clock, took coach again. But, Lord, to see in what a pleasant humour Sir George Carteret hath been, both coming and going, so light, so fond, so merry, so boyish, so much content he takes in this business, it is one of the greatest wonders I ever saw in my mind. But once, in serious discourse, he did say that if he knew his son to be a debauch, as many and most are nowadays about the court, he would tell it, and my Lady Jem should not have him. And so enlarged, both he and she, about the baseness and looseness of the court, and told several stories of the Duke of Monmouth and Richmond, and some great person, my Lord of Ormond's second son, married to a lady of extraordinary quality, fit, and that might have made a wife for the king himself, about 6 months since, that this great person hath given the pox to. and discoursed how much this would oblige the kingdom if the king would banish some of these great persons publicly from the court, and wished it with all their hearts. We set out so late that it grew dark, so as we doubted the losing of our way, and a long time it was, or seemed, before we could get to the waterside, and that about 11 at night, where, when we come, all merry, only my eye troubled me, as I said, we find no ferry-boat was there, nor no oars to carry us to Deptford. However, afterward oars was called from the other side at Greenwich, but when it came, a frolic, being mighty merry, took us, and there we would sleep all night in the coach in the Isle of Dogs. So we did, there being now with us my Lady Scott, and with great pleasure drew up the glasses and slept till daylight. And then some victuals and wine being brought us, we ate a bit, and so up and took boat, merry as might be. And when come to Sir George Carteret, there all to bed, our good humour in everybody continuing, and there I slept till 7 o'clock. Then up and to the office, well refreshed, my eye only troubling me, which by keeping a little covered with my handkerchief, and washing now and then with cold water, grew better by night. At noon to the change, which was very thin, and thence homeward, and was called in by Mr. Rawlinson, with whom I dined, and some good company, very harmlessly merry, but sad the story of the plague in the city, it growing mightily. This day my Lord Brunker did give me Mr. Grant's book upon the bills of mortality, new printed and enlarged. Thence to my office a while, full of business, and thence by coach to the Duke of Albemarle's, not meeting one coach going, nor coming from my house thither and back again, which is very strange. One of my chief errands was to speak to Sir William Clarke about my wife's brother, who importunes me, and I doubt he doth want me. But I can do little for him there as to employment in the army, and out of my purse I dare not, for fear of a precedent, and letting him come often to me is troublesome, and dangerous too, he living in the dangerous part of the town. But I will do what I can possibly for him, and as soon as I can. Mightily troubled all this afternoon with people's coming to me about bills of exchange, and my assigning them upon my goldsmith. But I did send for them all, and hope to ease myself this week of all that clamour. These 2 or 3 days Mr. Shaw, at Alderman Backwell's, hath lain sick, like to die, and is feared will not live a day to an end. At night home and to bed, my head full of business, and among others this day came a letter to me from Paris from my Lord Hinchingbroke, about his coming over, and I have sent this night an order from the Duke of Albemarle for a ship of 36 guns to go to Calais to fetch him. The 26th of July. Up, and after doing a little business down to Deptford with Sir William Batten, and there left him and I to Greenwich to the park, where I hear the King and Duke are come by water this morn from Hampton Court. They asked me several questions. The King mightily pleased with his new buildings there. I followed them to Castle's ship in building, and there met Sir William Batten, and thence to Sir George Carteret, where all the morning with them, they not having any but the Duke of Monmouth and Sir William Killigrew, and one gentleman and a page more. Great variety of talk, and was often led to speak to the King and Duke. By and by they to dinner, and all to dinner, and sat down to the King saving myself, which though I could not in modesty expect, yet, God forgive my pride, I was sorry I was there, that Sir William Batten should say that he could sit down where I could not, though he had 20 times more reason than I. But this was my pride and folly. I down and walked with Mr. Castle, who told me the design of Ford and Ryder to oppose and do all the hurt they can to Captain Taylor in his new ship, the London, and how it comes, and that they are a couple of false persons, which I believe, and with all that he himself is a knave too. He and I by and by to dinner, mighty nobly, and the King having dined, he came down, and I went in the barge with him, I sitting at the door, down to Woolwich, and there I just saw and kissed my wife, and saw some of her painting, which is very curious, and away again to the king, and back again with him in the barge, hearing him and the duke talk, and seeing and observing their manner of discourse. And God forgive me, though I adore them with all the duty possible, yet the more a man considers and observes them, the less he finds of difference between them and other men, though, blessed be God, they are both princes of great nobleness and spirits. The barge put me into another boat that came to our side, Mr. Holder with a bag of gold to the Duke, and so they away and I home to the office. The Duke of Monmouth is the most skittish leaping gallant that ever I saw, alway in action, vaulting or leaping or clambering. Thence, mighty full of the honour of this day, took coach and to Kate Joyce, but she not within, but spoke with Antony, who tells me he likes well of my proposal for Paul to Harmon, but I fear that less than £500 will not be taken, and that I shall not be able to give, though I did not say so to him. After a little other discourse, and the sad news of the death of so many in the parish of the plague, 40 last night, the bell alway going, I back to the exchange, where I went up and sat talking with my beauty, Mistress Batelier, a great while, who is indeed one of the finest women I ever saw in my life. After buying some small matter, I home, and there to the office, and saw Sir John Minnis now come from Portsmouth. I home to set my journal for these 4 days in order, they being 4 days of as great content and honour and pleasure to me, as ever I hope to live or desire or think anybody else can live. For, methinks, if a man could but reflect upon this, and think that all these things are ordered by God Almighty to make me contented, and even this very marriage now on foot is one of the things intended to find me content in my life, and matter of mirth, methinks it should make one mightily more satisfied in the world than he is. This day poor Robin Shaw at Backwell's died, and Backwell himself now in Flanders. The king himself asked about Shaw, and being told he was dead, said he was very sorry for it. The sickness is got into our parish this week, and is got indeed everywhere, so that I begin to think of setting things in order, which I pray God enable me to put, both as to soul and body. The 27th of July. Called up at 4 o'clock, up and to my preparing some papers for Hampton Court, and so by water to Vauxhall, and there Mr. Gordon's coach took me up, and by I took him, and so both thither, a brave morning to ride in, and good discourse with him. Among others he begun with me to speak of the Tangier Victuallers resigning their employment, and his willingness to come on, of which I was glad, and took the opportunity to answer him with all kindness and promise of assistance. He told me, a while since my Lord Berkeley did speak of it to him, and yesterday a message from Sir Thomas Ingram. When I come to Hampton Court, I find Sir Thomas Ingram and Creed ready with papers signed for the putting Mr. Gordon in, upon a resignation signed to by Lanyon, and sent to Sir Thomas Ingram. At this I was surprised, but yet was glad, and so it passed, but with respect enough to these that are in, at least without anything ill taken from it. I got another order signed about the boats, which I think I shall get something by. So dispatched all my business, having assurance of continuance of all hearty love from Sir William Coventry, and so we stayed and saw the King and Queen set out toward Salisbury. And after them the Duke and Duchess, whose hands I did kiss. And it was the first time I did ever, or did see, anybody else kiss her hand, and it was a most fine white and fat hand. But it was pretty to see the young pretty ladies dressed like men, in velvet coats, caps with ribbons, and with laced bands just like men. Only the Duchess herself it did not become. They gone, we with great content took coach again, and hungry came to Clapham about 1 o'clock, and Creed thereto before us, where a good dinner, the house having dined, and so to walk up and down in the gardens, mighty pleasant. By and by comes by promise to me Sir George Carteret, and viewed the house above and below, and sat and drank there. and I had a little opportunity to kiss and spend some time with the ladies above. His daughter, a buxom lass, and his sister, Fissant, a serious lady, and a little daughter of hers that begins to sing prettily. Thence, with mighty pleasure, with Sir George Carteret by coach, with great discourse of kindness with him to my Lord Sandwich, and to me also, and I every day see more good by that alliance. Almost at Deptford I light, and walked over to Halfway House, and so home, in my way being shown my cousin Pepys's house, which seems at distance a pretty house. At home met the weekly bill, where above 1,000 increased in the bill, and all of them, in all, about 1,700 of the plague, which hath made the officers this day resolve of sitting at Deptford, which puts me to some consideration what to do. Therefore, home to think and consider of everything about it, and, without determining anything, ate a little supper, and to bed, full of the pleasure of these 6 or 7 last days. The 28th of July. Up betimes and down to Deptford, where after a little discourse with Sir George Carteret, who is much displeased with the order of our officers yesterday, to remove the office to Deptford, pretending other things, but to be sure it is with regard to his own house, which is much because his family is going away. I am glad I was not at the order-making, and so I will endeavour to alter it. Set out with my lady, all alone with her, with 6 horses to Dagenham's, going by water to the ferry, and a pleasant going and good discourse, and when there, very merry, and the young couple now well acquainted. But, Lord, to see in what fear all the people here do live would make one mad. They are afeard of us that come to them, insomuch that I am troubled at it, and wish myself away. But some cause they have, for the chaplain, with whom but a week or two ago we were here mighty high disputing, is since fallen into a fever, and dead, being gone hence to a friend's a good way off, a sober and a healthful man. These considerations make us all hasten the marriage, and resolve it upon Monday next, which is 3 days before we intended it. Mighty merry all of us, and in the evening with full content took coach again, and home by daylight with great pleasure. And thence I down to Woolwich, where find my wife well, and after drinking and talking a little, we to bed. The 29th of July. Up betimes, and after viewing some of wife's pictures, which now she has come to do very finely, to my great satisfaction, beyond what I could ever look for, I went away, and by water to the office, where nobody to meet me, but busy all the morning. At noon, to dinner, where I hear that my Will is come in thither, and laid down upon my bed, ill of the headache, which put me into extraordinary fear, and I studied all I could to get him out of the house, and set my people to work to do it without discouraging him. And myself went forth to the old exchange, to pay my fair batelier for some linen, and took leave of her, they breaking up shop for a while. And so by coach to Kate Joyce's, and there used all the vehemence and rhetoric I could to get her husband to let her go down to Brampton, but I could not prevail with him, he urging some simple reasons, but most that of profit, minding the house, and the distance, if either of them should be ill. However, I did my best, and more than I had a mind to do, but that I saw him so resolved against it, while she was mightily troubled at it. At last he yielded she should go to Windsor to some friends there, so I took my leave of them, believing that it is great odds that we ever all see one another again, for I dare not go any more to that end of the town. So home, and to writing of letters hard, and then at night home, and fell to my Tangier papers, till late, and then to bed in some ease of mind, that Will is gone to his lodging, and that he is likely to do well, it being only the headache. The 30th of July. Lord's Day. Up, and in my nightgown, cap, and neckcloth, undressed all day long, lost not a minute, but in my chamber, setting my Tangier accounts to rights, which I did by night, to my very heart's content, not only that it is done, but I find everything right and even beyond what, after so long neglecting them, I did hope for. The Lord of Heaven be praised for it. Will was with me today and is very well again. It was a sad noise to hear our bell to toll and ring so often today, either for deaths or burials. I think 5 or 6 times. At night, weary with the day's work, but full of joy at my having done it. I to bed, being to rise betimes tomorrow to go to the wedding at Dagenham's. So to bed, fearing I have got some cold, sitting in my loose garment all this day. The 31st of July. Up and very betimes by 6 o'clock at Deptford, and there find Sir George Carteret and my lady ready to go, I being in my new coloured silk suit and coat, trimmed with gold buttons and gold broad lace round my hands, very rich and fine. By water to the ferry, where, when we came, no coach there, and tide of ebb so far spent as the horseboat could not get off on the other side the river to bring away the coach. So we were fain to stay there in the unlucky Isle of Dogs, in a chill place, the morning cool and wind fresh, above 2 if not 3 hours to our great discontent. Yet being upon a pleasant errand, and seeing that could not be helped, we did bear it very patiently, and it was worth my observing, I thought as ever anything, to see how upon these 2 scores, Sir George Carteret, the most passionate man in the world, and that was in greatest haste to be gone, did bear with it, and very pleasant all the while, at least not troubled much so as to fret and storm at it. Anon the coach comes. In the meantime there coming a citizen thither with his horse to go over, that told us he did come from Islington this morning, and that Proctor, the vintner of the Mitre in Wood Street, and his son, is dead this morning there, of the plague. He having laid out abundance of money there, and was the greatest vintner for some time in London, for great entertainments. We, fearing the canonical hour would be passed before we got thither, did, with a great deal of unwillingness, send away the license and wedding ring, so that when we came, though we drove hard with 6 horses, yet we found them gone from home, and going toward the church, met them coming from church, which troubled us. But, however, that trouble was soon over, hearing it was well done, they being both in their old clothes. My Lord Crewe giving her, there being 3 coachfuls of them, the young lady mighty sad, which troubled me, but yet I think it was only her gravity, in a little greater degree than usual. All saluted her, but I did not till my Lady Sandwich did ask me whether I had not saluted her or no. So to dinner, and very merry we were, but yet in such a sober way as never almost any wedding was in so great families. But it was much better. After dinner, company divided, some to cards, others to talk. My Lady Sandwich and I up to settle accounts, and pay her some money. And mighty kind she is to me, and would fain have had me gone down for company with her to Hinchingbrook, but for my life I cannot. At night to supper, and so to talk, and, which methought was the most extraordinary thing, all of us to prayers as usual, and the young bride and bridegroom too. And so, after prayers, soberly to bed, only I got into the bridegroom's chamber while he undressed himself, and there was very merry, till he was called to the bride's chamber, and into bed they went. I kissed the bride in bed, and so the curtains drawn with the greatest gravity that could be, and so good night. But the modesty and gravity of this business was so decent, that it was to me indeed 10 times more delightful than if it had been 20 times more merry and jovial. Whereas I feared I must have sat up all night, we did here all get good beds, and I lay in the same I did before, with Mr. Brisbane, who is a good scholar and sober man, and we lay in bed getting him to give me an account of Rome, which is the most delightful talk a man can have of any traveller. And so to sleep, my eyes much troubled already with the change of my drink. Thus I ended this month with the greatest joy that ever I did any in my life, because I have spent the greatest part of it with abundance of joy and honour and pleasant journeys and brave entertainments and without cost of money. And at last lived to see that business ended with great content on all sides. This evening, with Mr. Brisbane speaking of enchantments and spells, I telling him some of my charms, he told me this of his own knowledge at Bordeaux in France, the words these. Voici encore mort, roide comme un baston, froid comme marbre, léger comme un esprit, levante au nom de Jésus-Christ. He saw four little girls, very young ones, all kneeling, each of them upon one knee, and one begin the first line whispering in the ear of the next, and the second to the third, and the third to the fourth, and she to the first. Then the first begun the second line, and so round quite through, and putting each one finger only to a boy that lay flat upon his back on the ground, as if he was dead. At the end of the words they did with their four fingers raise this boy as high as they could reach, and he, being there and wondering at it, as also being afeard to see it, for they would have had him to have bore a part in saying the words in the room of one of the little girls, that was so young that they could hardly make her learn to repeat the words, did, for fear there might be some sleight used in it by the boy, or that the boy might be light, called the cook of the house, a very lusty fellow, as Sir George Carteret's cook, who is very big, and they did raise him just in the same manner. This is one of the strangest things I ever heard, but he tells it me of his own knowledge, and I do heartily believe it to be true. I inquired of him whether they were Protestant or Catholic girls, and he told me they were Protestant, which made it the more strange to me. Thus we end this month, as I said, after the greatest glut of content that ever I had, only under some difficulty because of the plague, which grows mightily upon us, the last week being about 1700 or 1800 of the plague. My Lord Sandwich at sea with a fleet of about 100 sail to the Norwood. Expect De Ruyter, or the Dutch East India fleet. My Lord Hinchingbroke coming over from France, and will meet his sister at Scott's Hall. Myself, having obliged both these families in this business very much, as both my lady and Sir George Carteret and his lady do confess exceedingly, and the latter two also now call me cousin, which I am glad of. So God preserve us all friends long, and continue health among us. August 1665. The first. Slept and lay long, then up, and my lord and Sir George Carteret being gone abroad, I first to see the bridegroom and bride, and found them both up, and he gone to dress himself, both red in the face and well enough pleased this morning with their night's lodging. Thence down, and Mr. Brisbane and I to billiards. Anon came my lord and Sir George Carteret in, who had been looking abroad and visiting some farms that Sir George Carteret hath thereabouts, and among other things report the greatest stories of the bigness of the calves they find there, ready to sell to the butchers, as big, as they say, as little cows, and that they do give them a piece of chalk to lick, which they hold makes them white in the flesh within. Very merry at dinner, and so to talk and laugh after dinner, and up and down, some to one place, some to another, full of content on all sides. Anon, about 5 o'clock, Sir George Carteret and his lady and I took coach, with the greatest joy and kindness that could be from the two families, or that ever I saw with so much appearance, and I believe reality, in all my life. Drove hard home, and it was night ere we got to Deptford, where, with much kindness from them to me, I left them, and home to the office where I find all well. And being weary and sleepy, it being very late, I to bed. The 2nd of August. Up, it being a public fast, as being the first Wednesday of the month, for the plague, I within doors all day, and upon my month's accounts late, and there, to my great joy, settled almost all my private matters of money in my books clearly, and allowing myself several sums which I had hitherto not reckoned myself sure of, because I would not be over sure of anything, though with reason enough I might do it, I did find myself really worth £1,900, for which the great God of heaven and earth be praised. At night to the office to write a few letters, and so home to bed, after fitting myself for tomorrow's journey. The 3rd of August. Up and betimes to Deptford to Sir George Carteret's, where, not liking the horse which had been hired by Mr. Uthwaite for me, I did desire Sir George Carteret to let me ride his new 40-pound horse, which he did, and so I left my hackney behind. And so, after staying a good while in their bedchamber while they were dressing themselves, discoursing merrily, I parted and to the ferry, where I was forced to stay a great while before I could get my horse brought over, and then mounted and rode very finely to Dagenham's, all the way, people, citizens, walking to and again, to inquire how the plague is in the city this week by the bill, which by chance at Greenwich I had heard was 2,010 of the plague, and 3,000 and odd of all diseases. But methought it was a sad question to be so often asked me. Coming to Dagenham's, I there met our company coming out of the house, having stayed as long as they could for me. So I let them go a little before, and went and took leave of my Lady Sandwich, good woman, who seems very sensible of my service and this late business, and having her directions in some things, among others, to get Sir George Carteret and my lord to settle the portion, and what Sir George Carteret is to settle into land, as soon as may be, she not liking that it should lie long undone, for fear of death on either side. So took leave of her, and then down to the buttery, and ate a piece of cold venison pie, and drank and took some bread and cheese in my hand, and so mounted after them, Mr. Marr very kindly staying to lead me the way. By and by met my Lord Crewe returning, after having accompanied them a little way, and so after them, Mr. Marr telling me by the way how a maidservant of Mr. John Wright's, who lives thereabouts, falling sick of the plague, she was removed to an outhouse, and a nurse appointed to look to her, who, being once absent, the maid got out of the house at the window and run away. The nurse, coming and knocking, and having no answer, believed she was dead, and went and told Mr. Wright so, who, and his lady, were in great strait what to do to get her buried. At last resolved to go to Brentwood hard by, being in that parish, and there get people to do it, but they would not. So he went home full of trouble, and in the way met the wench walking over the common, which frighted him, worse than before, and was forced to send people to take her, which he did, and they got one of the pest-coaches and put her into it to carry her to a pest-house. And passing in a narrow lane, Sir Anthony Brown, with his brother and some friends in the coach, met this coach, with the curtains drawn close. The brother, being a young man, and believing there might be some lady in it that would not be seen, and the way being narrow, he thrust his head out of his own into her coach to look, and there saw somebody look very ill, and in a sick dress, and stunk mightily, which the coachman also cried out upon. And presently they came up to some people that stood looking after it, and told our gallants that it was a maid of Mr. Wright's carried away sick of the plague, which put the young gentleman into a fright had almost cost him his life, but is now well again. I, overtaking our young people, light and into the coach to them, were mighty merry all the way, and anon came to the blockhouse over against Gravesend, where we stayed a great while, in a little drinking-house, sent back our coaches to Dagenham's. I, by and by boat to Gravesend, where no news of Sir George Carteret come yet. So back again and fetched them all over, but the two saddle-horses that were to go with us, which could not be brought over in the horse-boat, the wind and tide being against us, without towing. So we had some difference with some watermen, who would not tow them over under 20 shillings, whereupon I swore to send one of them to sea, and will do it. Anon some others come to me, and did it for 10. By and by comes Sir George Carteret, and so we set out for Chatham, in my way overtaking some company, wherein was a lady, very pretty, riding single, her husband in company with her. We fell into talk, and I read a copy of verses, which her husband showed me, and he discommended, but the lady commended, and I read them so as to make the husband turn to commend them. By and by, he and I fall into acquaintance, having known me formerly at the Exchequer. His name is Noakes, over against Bow Church. He was servant to Alderman Dashwood. We promised to meet if ever we came back to London again, and at parting I had a fair salute on horseback in Rochester streets of the lady, and so parted. Came to Chatham mighty merry, and anon to supper, it being near 9 o'clock ere we came thither. My Lady Carteret came thither in a coach by herself before us. Great mind they have to buy a little hackney that I rode on from Gravesend, for a woman's horse. Mighty merry, and after supper all being withdrawn, Sir George Carteret did take an opportunity to speak with much value and kindness to me, which is of great joy to me. So, anon to bed, Mr. Brisbane and I together, to my content. The 4th and 5th of August. Up at 5 o'clock, and by 6, walked out alone with my Lady Slaining to the dockyard, where walked up and down, and so to Mr. Pett's, who led us into his garden, and there the lady, the best-humoured woman in the world, and a devout woman, I having spied her on her knees, half an hour this morning in her chamber, clambered up to the top of the banqueting-house to gather nuts, and mighty merry, and so walked back again through the new rope-house, which is very useful, and so to the hill-house, to breakfast, and mighty merry. Then they took coach, and Sir George Carteret kissed me himself heartily, and my lady several times, with great kindness, and then the young ladies, and so with much joy, bade God be with you. And an end I think it will be to my mirth for a great while, it having been the passage of my whole life the most pleasing for the time, considering the quality and nature of the business, and my noble usage in the doing of it, and very many fine journeys, entertainments, and great company. I returned into the house for a while to do business there with Commissioner Pett, and then with the officers of the chest, where I saw more of Sir William Batten's baseness than ever I did before, for whereas he did own once under his hand to them that he was accountable for £2,200, of which he hath yet paid but £1,600, he writes them a letter lately that he hath but about £150 left that is due to the chest. But I will do something in it, and that speedily. That being done, I took horse and Mr. Barrow with me, bore me company to Gravesend, discoursing of his business, wherein I vexed him, and he, me, I seeing his frowardness, but yet that he is in my conscience a very honest man, and some good things he told me, which I shall remember to the king's advantage. There I took boat alone, and the tide being against me, landed at Blackwall, and walked it to Wapping, Captain Proud, whom I met with, talking with me all the way, who is a sober man. So home, and found all things well, and letters from Dover, that my Lord Hinchingbroke is arrived at Dover, and would be at Scott's Hall this night, where the whole company will meet. I wish myself with them. After writing a few letters, I took boat and down to Woolwich very late, and there found my wife and her woman upon the quay, hearing a fellow in a barge that lay by, fiddle. So I to them, and in very merry, and to bed, I sleepy and weary. In the morning up, and my wife showed me several things of her doing, especially one fine woman's Persian head, mighty finely done, beyond what I could expect of her. And so away by water, having ordered in the yard 6 or 8 bargemen to be whipped, who had last night stolen some of the king's cordage from out of the yard. I to Deptford, and there by agreement met with my Lord Brunker, and there we kept our office, he and I, and did what there was to do, and at noon parted. To meet at the office next week. Sir William Warren and I thence did walk through the rain to Halfway House, and there I ate a piece of boiled beef, and he and I talk over several businesses, among others, our design upon the mast dock, which I hope to compass and get £200 or £300 by. Thence to Redriff, where we parted, and I home, where busy all the afternoon. Step to Colville's to set right a business of money, where he told me that for certain De Ruyter is come home with all his fleet, which is very ill news, considering the charge we have been at in keeping a fleet to the northward so long, besides the great expectation of snapping him, wherein my Lord Sandwich will, I doubt, suffer some dishonour. I am told also of a great riot upon Thursday last in Cheapside, Colonel Danvers, a delinquent, having been taken, and in his way to the Tower, was rescued from the captain of the guard and carried away, only one of the rescuers being taken. I am also told that the Duke of Buckingham is dead, but I know not of a certainty. So home, and very late at letters, and then home to supper and to bed. The 6th of August, Lord's Day. And dressed and had my head combed by my little girl, to whom I confess que je suis demasiado kind, nous per ponendo saipe mes mains in sous deux choses de son breast. Mais il faut que je leave it, lest it bring me to alguno major inconvenience. So to my business in my chamber, looking over and settling more of my papers than I could do the last 2 days I have spent about them. In the evening, it raining hard, down to Woolwich, where after some little talk, to bed. The 7th of August. Up and with great pleasure looking over my wife's pictures, and then to see my Lady Penn, whom I have not seen since her coming hither, and after being a little merry with her, she went forth and I stayed there, talking with Mistress Peg and looking over her pictures, and commended them, but, Lord, so far short of my wife, as no comparison. Thence to my wife, and there spent, talking till noon, when, by appointment, Mr. Andrews came out of the country to speak with me about their Tangier business. And so, having done with him and dined, I home by water, where, by appointment, I met Dr. Twisden, Mr. Povey, Mr. Lawson, and Stockdale, about settling their business of money. But such confusion I never met with, nor could anything be agreed on, but parted like a company of fools. I vexed to lose so much time and pains to no purpose. They gone, comes Rayner the boatmaker about some business, and brings a piece of plate with him, which I refused to take off him, thinking indeed that the poor man hath no reason nor encouragement from our dealings with him to give any of us any presents. He gone, there comes Llewellyn about Mr. Deering's business of plank, to have the contract perfected, and offers me 20 pieces in gold, as Deering had done some time since himself. But I both then and now refused it, resolving not to be bribed to dispatch business, but will have it done, however, out of hand forthwith. So he gone, I to supper and to bed. The 8th of August. Up and to the office where all the morning we sat, at noon I home to dinner alone, and after dinner Bagwell's wife waited at the door, and went with me to my office. En lequel, yo hace todo which I had a corazón a hace con ella. So parted, and I to Sir William Batten's, and there sat the most of the afternoon, talking and drinking too much with my Lord Brunker, Sir George Smith, George Cock, and others very merry. I drunk a little, mixed, but yet more than I should do. So to my office a little, and then to the Duke of Albemarle's about some business. The streets mighty empty all the way now, even in London, which is a sad sight. And to Westminster Hall, where talking, hearing very sad stories from Mistress Mumford, among others, of Mistress Mitchell's son's family, and poor Will that used to sell us ale at the hall door, his wife and 3 children dead, all, I think, in a day. So home through the city again, wishing I may have taken no ill in going, but I will go, I think, no more thither. Late at the office, and then home to supper, having taken a pullet home with me, and then to bed. The news of De Ruyter's coming home is certain, and told to the great disadvantage of our fleet and the praise of De Ruyter, but it cannot be helped, nor do I know what to say to it. the 9th of August. Up betimes to my office where Tom Hayter to the writing of letters with me, which have, for a good while, been in arrear, and we close at it all day till night. Only made a little step out for half an hour in the morning, I to the Exchequer about striking of tallies, but no good done therein, people being most out of town. At noon Thomas Hayter dined with me, and so at it all the afternoon. At night home and supped, and after reading a little in Cowley's poems, my head being disturbed with overmuch business today, I to bed. The 10th of August. Up betimes and called upon early by my she-cousin Porter, the turner's wife, to tell me that her husband was carried to the Tower for buying of some of the king's powder, and would have my help, but I could give her none, not daring any more to appear in that business, having too much trouble lately therein. By and by to the office, where we sat all the morning in great trouble to see the bill this week rise so high, to above 4,000 in all, and of them about 3,000 of the plague, and an odd story of Alderman Bence's stumbling at night over a dead corpse in the street, and going home and telling his wife, she at the fright, being with child, fall sick, and died of the plague. We sat late, and then, by invitation, my Lord Brunker, Sir John Minnis, Sir William Batten, and I to Sir George Smith's to dinner, where very good company and good cheer. Captain Cock was there, and Jack Fenn, but, to our great wonder, Alderman Bence, and tells us that not a word of all this is true, and others said so too, but by his own story his wife hath been ill, and he fain to leave his house, and comes not to her, which continued a trouble to me all the time I was there. Thence to the office, and after writing letters, home to draw over anew my will, which I had bound myself by oath to dispatch by tomorrow night, the town growing so unhealthy that a man cannot depend upon living 2 days to an end. So, having done something of it, I to bed. The 11th of August. Up and all day long finishing and writing over my will twice, for my father and my wife. Only in the morning a pleasant rencontre happened, in having a young married woman brought me by her father, old Delks, that carries pins alway in his mouth, to get her husband off, that he should not go to sea. Uno hombre pouve avoir done any cosa cum ella, but I did nada sino besar her. After they were gone, my mind run upon having them called back again, and I sent a messenger to Blackwall, but he failed, so I lost my expectation. I to the Exchequer about striking new tallies, and I find the Exchequer, by proclamation, removing to Nonsuch. Back again, and at my papers and putting up my books into chests, and settling my house and all things in the best and speediest order I can, lest it should please God to take me away, or force me to leave my house. Health. Late up at it, and weary and full of wind, finding perfectly that so long as I keep myself in company at meals, and do there eat lustily, which I cannot do alone, having no love to eating, but my mind runs upon my business, I'm as well as can be. But when I come to be alone, I do not eat in time, nor enough, nor with any good heart, and I immediately begin to be full of wind, which brings me pain, till I come to fill my belly a days again, then am presently well. The 12th of August. The office now not sitting, but only hereafter on Thursdays at the office, I within all the morning about my papers, and setting things still in order, and also much time in settling matters with Dr. Twisden. At noon am sent for by Sir George Carteret to meet him and my Lord Hinchingbroke at Deptford, but my Lord did not come thither, he having crossed the river at Gravesend to Dagenham's, whither I dare not follow him, they being afeard of me. But Sir George Carteret says he is a most sweet youth in every circumstance. Sir George Carteret being in haste of going to the Duke of Albemarle and the Archbishop, he was pettish, and so I would not fasten any discourse, but take another time. So he gone, I down to Greenwich, and sent away the Bezan, thinking to go with my wife tonight, to come back again tomorrow night to the Sovereign at the Boy of the Nore. Coming back to Deptford, old Bagwell walked a little way with me, and would have me in to his daughter's, and there, he being gone dehors, ego had my volonté de su hija. Ate and drank and away home, and after a little at the office to my chamber to put more things still in order, and late to bed. The people die so that now it seems they are fain to carry the dead to be buried by daylight, the nights not sufficing to do it in, and my Lord Mayor commands people to be within at 9 at night, all, as they say, that the sick may have liberty to go abroad for air. There is one also dead out of one of our ships at Deptford, which troubles us mightily, the Providence fire ship, which was just fitted to go to sea, but they tell me today no more sick on board. And this day, William Bodham tells me that one is dead at Woolwich, not far from the rope yard. I am told, too, that a wife of one of the grooms at court is dead at Salisbury, so that the king and queen are speedily to be all gone to Milton. God preserve us. The 13th of August. Lord's Day. Up betimes and to my chamber, it being a very wet day all day, and glad I am that we did not go by water to see the Sovereign today as I intended. Clearing all matters in packing up my papers and books, and giving instructions in writing to my executors, thereby perfecting the whole business of my will, to my very great joy. So that I shall be in much better state of soul, I hope, if it should please the Lord to call me away this sickly time. At night to read, being weary with this day's great work. And then after supper to bed, to rise betimes tomorrow. And to bed with a mind as free as to the business of the world, as if I were not worth £100 in the whole world, everything being evened under my hand in my books and papers. And upon the whole, I find myself worth, besides Brampton estate, the sum of £2,164, for which the Lord be praised. The 14th of August. Up, and my mind being at mighty ease from the dispatch of my business so much yesterday, I down to Deptford to Sir George Carteret, where with him a great while, and a great deal of private talk concerning my Lord Sandwich's and his matters, and chiefly of the latter, I giving him a great deal of advice about the necessity of his having caution concerning Fenn, and the many ways there are of his being abused by any man in his place, and why he should not bring his son in to look after his business, and more, to be a commissioner of the navy, which he listened to and liked, and told me how much the king was his good master, and was sure would not deny him that or anything else greater than that. And I find him a very cunning man, whatever at other times he seems to be. And among other things he told me he was not for the fanfaroons to make a show with a great title, as he might have had long since, but the main thing to get an estate, and another thing, speaking of minding of business, "By God," says he, "I will, and have already almost brought it to that pass, that the king shall not be able to whip a cat, but I must be at the tail of it," meaning, so necessary he is, and the king and my lord treasurer and all do confess it, which, while I mind my business, is my own case in this office of the navy, and I hope shall be more, if God give me life and health. Thence by agreement to Sir John Minnis's lodgings, where I find my Lord Brunker, and so by water to the ferry, and there took Sir William Batten's coach that was sent for us, and to Sir William Batten's, where very merry, good cheer, and up and down the garden with great content to me. And after dinner beat Captain Cock at billiards, won about 8 shillings of him, and my Lord Brunker. So in the evening, after much pleasure, back again, and I by water to Woolwich, where supped with my wife, and then to bed betimes, because of rising tomorrow at 4 of the clock, in order to the going out with Sir George Carteret, toward Cranbourne, to meet my Lord Hinchingbrook in his way to court. This night I did present my wife with the diamond ring, a while since given me by Mr. Blayton, Dick Vine's brother, for helping him to be a purser, valued at about £10. The first thing of that nature I did ever give her. Great fears we have that the plague will be a great bill this week.